A street corner in Vermilion has gone quiet, but only for a while. You're listening to SDPB's In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Let's get right to it today with Sounds from Vermilion. This summer, on a street corner in Vermilion, three men wheeled a broken and battered piano around the corner and out of view of the security camera in front of Winnie Mae's hair salon. It wasn't just any piano. This was the Vermilion Street Piano. In its time, the piano had been a piece of public art, an invitation to participate, a vessel for destruction, and a tribute to resilience and belonging. The instrument was painted with a vibrant sunburst, but after 6 years on the street, the pedal panel had been kicked in, the keys were caked in dust and grime, the wood and metal and felt all showed signs of decay and collapse. Before the street piano was retired, I wanted to know more about it, so I went to that street corner to learn about Vermilion's iconic experiment in art, performance, and community. I talked with Shannon Cole, director of the Vermilion Cultural Association, and Becky Enquist Schroeder, who owns Winnie Mae's, and Brix, a musician. We'll hear more about Brix in a moment. But we'll start here with Shannon Cole sharing the piano's origin story.
It is a pandemic story. So in 2020, my organization, the Vermilion Cultural Association, was working with an artist who was getting a grant through the Change Network. Her name was Susan Hegested, is Susan Hegested. And she had to pivot her grant. It was supposed to be a bunch of different community interventions to bring people together. And then the pandemic hit. And so we had to come up with ways to do art apart. And so one of her ideas was a community piano. And so we bought the piano and Susan painted it. And we put it on the street corner out front of Becky's place.
Becky, how did it end up here?
Well, I knew Susan and Shannon just from being downtown Vermilionaires. And we have an awning over our sidewalk here. So with the weather in South Dakota, Susan had reached out and said, hey, I've got this piano. We're doing this cool project. Would you want to house it for us? Absolutely. 100% yes. So we were able to put it out here where it's mostly safe from the elements. Not safe from humans, but safe from the elements.
What was the concept as you understood it at the time? Because I'm sure running a hair salon during a pandemic was a pretty instant disruption to your business.
Yeah, I knew that it was about, you know, we knew we could be outside, we knew we could social distance, we knew people were enjoying the outdoors more. We were closed. We were closed for 6 weeks, kind of during the height of it. And so it was, you know, you see them in other communities, especially bigger towns, and it's like, yes, Vermilion can do this too. We have all the means to do it and a place to store it. So it just seemed like it made sense. This is, I would say, the busiest corner in Vermilion. I mean, we've got very busy restaurants, very busy watering holes, busy salon, busy bank. I don't know. I think it's the best corner in Vermilion myself, but I'm partial.
Shannon, what did you think was going to happen? What did you hope was going to happen? And then what happened?
Let's see. Well, I hoped it would be something to give people a little bit of hope at the time, because we had been so far apart and no one had been able to enjoy art together. And so we had someone who sort of did the inaugural playing of the piano. And we had a socially distanced crowd that actually brought lawn chairs down here and enjoyed the music as he played. And that just filled us with so much joy. And the grant project was called Imagining Community, because we had to imagine that we could be together even when we couldn't. And so that's what I wanted, was this bright piece of art that gave people an idea that someday we'll be able to listen to music together again and make music together again. And then there were a few years where all just went to plan. It was perfect. And people touched the piano as they walked by. Maybe they played whole sonatas. Maybe they just plunked at the keys. And it was perfect. And the public piano did exactly what it did as kind of a piece of art that people could engage with freely. And then something started to change about 2 years ago.
Yeah, we had a little rash of vandalism to it. So we installed a camera. that we have access to 24/7. If you've ever seen any of the videos that we put on our social media, we do great hair here. I'm telling you, I have an amazing team. But piano videos,
I get my hair cut here.
The piano videos get like 5,000 views. I mean, people just love the piano videos. And so I'll try to put like mashups together we get from the camera, which has been a fun side effect of the camera. We have been able to catch, I think, all of but one of the vandals, and they have paid a donation to the Cultural Association, as well as, you know, just had to deal with the public repercussion of breaking something that everybody loves, and just to not be.
Tell me how the piano has suffered.
It got kicked.
The bottom pedal panel got kicked in.
Yeah, the front panels got kicked in.
Repeatedly.
And then the gal that did that stole them, but she brought it back to me. The top has been broken off. The bench has been smashed. I think this is our third bench.
Yeah.
One of the, I don't know what it's called, to Brix's left, the leg or the pillar on the side got kicked and broken off. And those were all human-related issues. Environmentally, it's been cleaned a few times, but you know, it's just going to get dirty. We live in a windy, dirty,
sandy.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's taken a little bit of a beating from the weather. Again, it's 6 years old though. Now, I will say it did live over at Carrie's Bar for the winter and for like maybe a year and a half before it came back outside over here.
Brix, tell me a little bit of when you heard about this project and some of your initial intersection with it.
Yeah, I moved here in August. And I was cooking food at the food bank, just kind of taking a break, walking up the street, and that's when I see this piano. It's like calling to me, you know. It's kind of a lonely time in my life, you know. I was trying to, like, you know, make some changes. I just moved here from San Antonio, and I saw a piano, and I was like, well, you know, I'll give it a little play there. So I started like laying down, like just a little. About the best thing to do on an old out-of-tune piano like that, you know. And then I hear some clapping in the distance, like behind, like over on the other side of the street there, and so I'm like, all right, I was thinking, oh, you know, this is giving a little, you know, little honky-tonk thing. And yeah, all of a sudden, like, I couldn't go anywhere in this town without people like being like, yo, you're the guy who was at the piano, right? Everyone was staring at me. It's very uncomfortable compared to San Antonio, you know, where people like, I don't know. It was a whole different experience there.
Did you realize when you sat down at the piano that you were part of a performance as well as part of, like, there's a give and take?
Oh, yeah. No, I had no clue what was going on. I saw the piano and I was compelled to play it. And then all of a sudden I started meeting all these people and... Yeah, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, I feel like this town has, like, just, like, become a part of me as much as I've become a part of it.
How often do you come back? Have you come back over the past
years? Oh, yeah, you know, like, during Christmas time, I was, you know, playing some Christmas songs around here. Just whatever I can get a break from cooking, really.
First piano that you ever sat at. Take me back to a different city in a different time. Because I want to know,
right,
like, most
right.
Pianos
no.
aren't on the
My
street.
Mom will tell you this story, yeah. too. So, Memphis, Tennessee, Graceland tour, walking tour. I'm about 4 years old. And over in Elvis's parlor, there's a grand piano. Only thing separating me between it was a velvet rope, which I could walk right under.
Yes.
And so I walked under there, and I went and I played Elvis's piano.
Yes.
Of course.
I feel like, Shannon, a lot of pianos are behind a velvet rope.
In, oh, so true.
Right? You yeah. know, like, it's in a concert hall. It's mm-hmm. a don't touch that. It's a big, impressive instrument. This is, children come by and
yeah.
just, like, you know, bang on the keys. And mm-hmm. people who don't know how to play, or they play chopsticks, or they talk about the invitation to music and art then as part of a community project, a community performance.
Absolutely. One of the actual mission statements of the Vermilion Cultural Association is to make art part of everyday life. And I think that there's no easier way to just have an instrument sit out there, one that's mostly not mobile, if it's not kicked into pieces. And and it just is itself an invitation. And we did have a little piece of paper on it that said, like, feel free to play me, you know. And I think that not only does that, you know, if you're a tiny aspiring musician like Brix, give you maybe access to something that you might not have at home, but it also just creates a curiosity and a joy around something that is unexpected. And we've also done unexpected concerts from the top of our gallery roof, because you don't expect people to be singing opera from a rooftop in Vermilion. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of like whimsy and delight are part of what makes Vermilion good and weird, but also part of what makes people want to stay in this community and then feel like this community becomes part of them.
Yeah. Brix, what happened next after you were playing in Graceland? Because I'm guessing there's a docent or somebody who said, step away from the keys.
Yeah, it took them a little bit of trouble to get me off the keys. That's for sure. They had to drag me away from that. From that moment, you know, there was always a piano in the house. And then there was a radio playing. Then I'd listen to, you know, the 60s and 70s music on the radio, and I just try to like play along to it, you know. And you know, now I'm happy to say I make a living playing piano, you know.
Becky, what is it like to be in the salon with a client? I mean, can you hear it in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Sometimes we open the door if the weather permitting. I have clients that ask oftentimes, when will that guy be back? I had a client one day while she waited for the bus to come get her. She stood out here and danced right along, and I think had you tried to leave, she would have not let you. And Rosie is that kind of person that you would just do it, you would just listen to her. But they love when we can hear it in there, whether it's little kids pinging around or somebody that is a pretty good musician out here playing. But when Brick starts singing, there's a little something that kind of everybody stops and looks out the window, and it's like, okay, again, there is so little magic in our everyday lives, and this is a piece. This is a little bit of that. It's pretty amazing.
Let her rip, Brix.
Awesome. Words fail and action speaks in a world made for the meek. Tell the man now with the leap, because it's getting out of hand. Everybody always wants a solution. You say you want restitution for your thought pollution. Now you're playing in a rock and roll band. 3 day long potato salad, 3 whole days, 3 whole days. Ruined it with your K-Rock 10. Now we're gone so far gone. Gone so far gone. Gone so far.
See Brix play on the SDPB News Instagram, or find and share this story online at sdpb.org/inthemoment. That is our conversation for today. I hope that it serves you. And if this episode resonated with you, please leave a comment, leave a rating, subscribe. Actions like that make a real difference, and it helps stories like these reach more people in South Dakota and beyond. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.